This is an MUT Radio podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Vice Chancellor's vlog series. Today I'm joined by Professor Roger Kupusami. Prof, would you just briefly tell us about yourself?
Thank you, VC. I am Professor Kupusami, the current head of Department of Nature Conservation at Mangosuthu University of Technology. I am a researcher in the field of phytomedicines, a multi-award-winning researcher. I've got international research awards and many institutional research awards as well. I'm an NRF-rated researcher with the NRF rating 3, C3 rating, and the ICE in the faculty, and that's something of a glaze to in the faculty, you know. Yeah, and I have been at MUT for 17 years. I started in 2010 with the World Cup, and we're back on the World Cup in 2025, 2026. So it's a transition, and both advancements were initially World Cup and World Cup this year as well.
Thank you very much. That said, please tell us about your research journey at MUT in the past 10 years and how you obtained and prepared for your NRF rating.
We see it's a journey of within MUT. MUT was not research orientated because we had lacking of research resources. We had to make sure that we made every possible space available for our research and collaboration extensively, both locally, internationally, and nationally, actually propelled us to the next level, coupled with supervision of students. MUT lacked in terms of its postgraduate qualifications, something very important in our stand that we need as researchers in fields to propel ourselves to next levels. We need to have postgrad qualifications where we can force ourselves to become experts in that field. But thankfully, through collaborative methods, we've developed a trajectory of growth, and the institution is shining with its research outputs over the past, six or seven years. Suffice to say, it won the Acceleration Award in 2021. Mm-hmm. And it's the researchers are now, in terms of my field, phytomedicines, initially I brought the notion of phytomedicines to MUT by registering a project with the research office. But that never stopped there. I got staff members within the institution who are currently head of departments as well that also became phytomedicine specialists by doing the PhDs under me and the supervision, co-supervising with other institutions and even supervising with other institutions. So in that way, the trajectory grew towards me getting my NRF rating. It wasn't an easy feat. But amidst all the challenges that we faced within the institution, we definitely made something happen with it. Currently, I think MUT has got quite a few NRF rated researchers, but I'm proud to say I'm quite the best in the faculty with a C rating and the others a Y. But I think with the desired mentorship and collaboration with those, we will make this a possibility of getting more C rateds.
Thank you very much for that. You have touched on the fact that there are quite a few challenges, especially in light of the fact that MUT is not or was not necessarily a research university, meaning that it did not pay a lot of attention to its research productivity. Now, being a researcher in that environment, how were you able to sustain high quality research output?
One of the critical aspects, or one of the aspects that we need to follow, is collaboration. Mm-hmm. And in my case, I've linked myself to eye-handed researchers with B ratings and A ratings across the country. They're pretty old, so they will be leaving the system. God forbid, allows them to live longer. But by attaching yourself to those researchers, you learn the attributes of research. You learn research at the levels that you would think further out than the silo mentality. I never at once believed that my research is my research alone. I believe that when I research for the country and the people around me. Collaboration with the communities is very essential, more especially in phytomedicines, because the indigenous folks, we call it traditional medicines, And historically, we have traditional medicines, we have Indian Ayurvedic medicines, we have Chinese medicines. They were there for centuries before even we even knew.
Mm-hmm.
And the only problem we had is to actually bring it into the forefront to say these are the real, as I said, I always call it this, the real McCoy of medicines, mm-hmm. because that is where medicines originated. So in my state, to build my trajectory, I collaborated with a local community, Inyangas and Sangomas. I still have them, and sad to say, my primary individual, which I was collaborating, Baba Kale, he passed on, but his son is still in our midst, that he does communicate now and then with us. Getting the knowledge, he runs a traditional school, so getting the knowledge of the species that you use and bringing it to the fore of medicines by identifying the compounds, which is essential, and formulating potential drugs and curative factors thereafter. So living the legends of the individuals who were here to bring them up and keep the names in the tongues of many people out there. So community is very important, and then taking to the next level of medicines in computational forms. So that is our territory. Building that, getting to your NRF rating, which gives you another level of achievement, is very important.
All right. Thank you for that. You know, in most instances, researchers, they are reluctant to collaborate with Inyangas or traditional people, you know, those people that use traditional medicines. And you have somehow closed that divide, which is an excellent thing to do. So that collaboration that you have, how has it helped you and the people that you collaborate with position MUT, or how are you going to further position MUT via your research, also ensuring that leveraging on those collaborations that you have with those community members?
As I said, currently, and I've been working for the past 17 years, but we're going back on 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the past 17 years, I've been working in with Continuum. And in the same way, we give back knowledge to them to say, be careful. Using this plant, it can be a safe mechanism, but overindulgence in the plant can create a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So we give back to the community, and it's like a bartering system,
mm-hmm.
and a mutualistic relationship. We know many instances, and I've seen it, where there's some sort of parasitic relationship where a researcher will take it and never get back to the community. In our case, we maintain that mutualistic understanding that we're not going to exploit the facilities,
mm-hmm.
because it's knowledge-driven, and the indigenous knowledge system is very important. Who the knowledge belongs to. The knowledge is coming from you. We are just validating, and we're validating the processes that you use. We're extrapolating further by getting the chemicals out, formulating drugs. We need to give credit to the community where it's due,
yeah.
and that's where we believe. And we've always had an open relationship with the community, and we didn't want to say we are superior because we're intellects. I've got a PhD, you've got nothing. So that is not the case.
Mm.
The knowledge they have is more superior than mine.
Mm.
So we definitely account them to that.
Thank you very much for that. Now, let's move a little bit abroad. Do you have any researchers that you collaborate with regionally and internationally?
Regionally is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I developed my initial trajectory of research, with University of Forte, University of Johannesburg, University of Bloemfontein Free State, various, and UNISA, and also Durban University of Technology in UKZN as
mm-hmm.
well. So I do have collaborators on all that platforms. Internationally, I've got from we look at United States, Australia, India, UK. It's quite a broad spectrum of individuals, and I sit on the board of one of the facilitating organizers who runs conferences and workshops for international platforms in phytomedicines. It's the Sivaram Foundation in India, and I did receive the Lifetime Achiever Award for contribution in the field of phytomedicines from that in 2023.
Yeah.
So it's an accolade, and the accolades come to the university as well, because you're getting an university individual who's getting an international award, so you can showcase and say, this university doesn't have stragglers, we have leaders,
yeah.
and that's where we stand.
F- fantastic. You touched on this earlier on, and I would like you to spend a minute or two on it. Mentorship, especially in your faculty, do you have any emerging researchers, any academics that you are currently mentoring, so that eventually, if you haven't started already, we can have a research group on phytomedicine?
I've developed a group on phytomedicine already. I've been mentoring individuals ever since 2010, 2011, mm-hmm. from other institutions with as postdocs. By the way, I must point out, I was the first to bring a NRF-rated postdoc, in this institution. And the very first postdoc of the institution was brought by me in 2012.
Fantastic.
So, and that Dr. Vashka Arinathan. Mm-hmm. And subsequently, I brought in interns from NRF where it was not existent, where NRF paid those interns to work under our research groups. So that became a mentorship-driven project, which I brought into place. And I've also mentored individuals from other institutions who are now even members of staff in this university. So I've trained and the trajectory of growth in phytomedicine to take them to the next level, not maintain the old level of just digging in the laboratory, but going into computational levels as well to bring those drugs into place. So it's the next level. Collaboration with our staff member, we left us now, Dr. Gumede, formulated the first cancer drug, the prostate cancer drug, which has got his patent. Dr. Mini will attest to that. So he was part of my team. Mm. We developed a team spirit, a camaraderie, not within the department, but within the entire faculty and across the faculty as well. So we had a big team. Unfortunately, 2 years I was latent. I was not in the university for about 2 years, mm-hmm. but I'm back now, and I intend to grow even further and faster as well.
I know when we first started this conversation, you highlighted the challenges against the backdrop of MUT initially not really focusing on research. My question now is, what kind of help or assistance do you require so that we ensure that your research, I know that you have grants and all that, but from the institution, what kind of assistance do you require?
One of the most important resources of a researcher is a laboratory. Unfortunately, it's sad to say, we have very limited space for that because we need the laboratories for teaching purposes. MUT comes from a teaching background and not a research background. Now we bring research into the fore, in fact, in a form of a second stream or third stream income to the institution. Research can actually bring a lot.
Yeah.
So if the institution can actually put it in this demand list of research laboratory, bear in mind, research laboratories cannot be combined. If I'm doing health issues or phytomedical issues, I can't bring soils and I can't bring animals into it. And it can be mixed up. So if you say you've got one research laboratory for a faculty, it doesn't actually pan off well. You need to have at least three or four designated laboratories, specifically for purposes intended. Mm. So, and that's where you give the leadership of individuals who are leading projects to spear the processes and maintain that kind of laboratory as probably a director of the laboratory, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Secondly, infrastructurally, in terms of equipment, we are not sound. We do have equipment. There's a lot of equipment came into the fore, but where do we place them? How do we get them into place? Because we don't have place to put it. I know when I started in MUT, I had a 1.5 meter by 1.5 meter, or maybe 2 meter by 2 meter room, office room, which I converted into a small lab, and I started functioning in there, producing 8 articles. And that 8 articles propelled me to get a bigger lab. But unfortunately, that lab now is gone for teaching purpose, so I don't even have a lab to work. The only place where I can work is collaborations, like with UKZN in Pietermaritzburg and in Durban, where I can do my work at any random basis. When I get a chance for 3-4 days, I go there, and that's where I'm sitting, in the lab, trying to do my work. Mm. sending out samples to analysis and for analysis, bringing them back. So we need to get state-of-the-art equipment. We need to move with times. Technology is driven so high, we need to move in times. So unfortunately, I don't think we have the funds for it, but I think we need to put ourselves forward and get funds for these purposes.
All right. Including perhaps leveraging on the NRF also to assist us in that regard.
I agree.
Okay. I think the conversation of infrastructure, especially when it relates to laboratories, is something that we will have to engage sooner than later and see how best with what we have we can then create those spaces like laboratories for researchers to work in. But I think it's something that we'll have to, you know, engage on. Now, what structured approaches or frameworks have you implemented within your research group to ensure consistent and high quality postgraduate supervision? Do you have postgraduate students? Let's start there.
I do have, so that's good. Yeah. I have some postgraduate students. I must be proud that our department is the only department that has a master's in conservation. And we do supervise students there. But on the upper hand, we have PhD students, and some of my other staff members within my department supervise PhD students outside the university. I've got currently three students at CPUT that I'm co-supervising, and I've got another student in UNISA, which I'm supervising. We're still in the process of doing the proposal for that. So this external supervision and co-supervision enhances our credibility. And I can be proud to say, in our department, we got at least 3 to 4 fully-fledged individuals who can properly supervise students and teach people within this institution how to actually supervise. The downfall of supervision, in other institutions, and we bring it to MUT, is assigning individuals with non-expertise to supervise a student on specific topics. This is happening across the country. Suffice to say, I'm not going to shun on that. We need to put the relevant individual in place, because if you specialized in phytomedicines, you can supervise phytomedicine. If you specialize in plant physiology, phytomedicine specialist. So you should be delving on for plant physiology. By building individuals' supervisory traits into areas of specialization, you build better individuals with an institution and better knowledge to the system, better outputs in terms of your publications. That's most important. And then you get more standing in society and more recognized internationally as well.
That is fantastic. As you were explaining how you go about your supervision and working with other institutions, it kind of crossed my mind to say, perhaps we need to have conversations, not only in your faculty, because I know your faculty has postgraduate programs that I still think that we need to amplify and to position. But I was also thinking about those other faculties, like engineering, for an example, how we can, I think that if we start having those conversations in terms of encouraging our staff members to co-supervise or even supervise in other institutions whilst they're here, then perhaps that can assist us, because usually a person will say, we don't have postgraduate programs, therefore I'm going to resign and leave, instead of saying, okay, I will stay, but I'll find ways to co-supervise with my peers in other institutions whilst we're strengthening our PQM. What are your thoughts about that?
I'm all for that. You see, developing programs takes time. If I want to get a PhD in engineering in this institution, it's going to take you at least another 6 years, minimum, maybe 7 even more. But in the same time, build your trajectory of supervision outside and collaborate with other institutions where you can get that. I know certain individuals in engineering is actually doing that they are supervising from outside the actual confines of MUT. So we don't treat MUT as a silo, that we do what we need to do. We need to bring knowledge from outside as well. And by us, suffice to say, I've recently went out with the team, with our team from the Faculty of Natural Science, all the way head of departments. And I'm were shocked with the number of individuals that knew us from that institution, because they said, we supervise with you. You are my external examiner for my PhDs and masters. Mm-hmm. Deans of other institutions using us as so we have quality within our own platforms.
Mm.
The limited that we have, I think, nurture them, bring them up, grow them even further, support them institutionally to build more capacity within the institution as well, within the individuals down there, helping them to develop as developing researchers, as formidable individuals in the field of research as well.
Thank you for that. That's another conversation that I think we'll have to
have.
We'll have
a lot of conversations with you.
Now, we are about to close this conversation, but I would like for you to just your reflections on your supervision and mentorship record, and just share with us areas you believe can be strengthened, and your approach to developing postgraduate researchers.
In terms of strengthening, is obviously bringing more programs into university. That's one of the first things we're doing.
Mm.
In Department of Nature Conservation, we're currently submitting, we did have the PQM clearance for the PhD.
Mm-hmm.
I think it fell short because of some measures that governance measures need to be sorted out, which is not sorted. I think policies need to be sorted, which has been sorted out.
Mm.
I'm sure we will be getting the program within next year or two. That's the first thing. The supervision is within my department. If I speak, we are training the younger ones to join us as co-supervisors on the master's programs, and giving them chance to supervise the honors level, which is the postgrad diploma, where they're getting the knowledge and the expertise from us. And we're co-supervising with them. I'm co-supervising with three honors students, and I'm co-supervising master's plus co-supervising with some other, and put people to co-supervise with me. So we give them the knowledge and the way that we do know is supervision, and then you can learn from it.
Yeah.
You don't have to, it doesn't say if you read, you can implement same thing.
Yeah.
If I teach you something, you might have something better.
Yeah.
But you learn the basics from us. We teach you the basics and you improve on the basics. I'm not the best at it. Maybe I'm not the best at it. But maybe I am the best at it.
Mm.
But if you follow my trajectory, maybe you would grow better.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe improve on what I've given to you. So everything is put there and you need to grow on it. And that's what we do with our staff members. And I would say the same thing should go on to other departments in other departments and other faculties as well, where you train your students. And also, at times, when you bring other supervisors from outside, teach them. I mean, within my team, which I use currently using, I've got outside individuals who are influencing and trying to help my current young students, who are doing finishing PhD. One just graduated, in fact, and another to graduate in another September and October. So they will now become the thing. They are developed in supervision as well, because they are in the academic space.
Mm-hmm.
And one is in the government space, but irrespective.
Yeah.
So they're in academic space. We train them from the level of PhD into co-supervising with us. And when they get into the PhDs, then we co-supervise masters with us. And then you can do your own after that.
All right. Thank you very much. Two things that I'm taking out of this conversation. The uniqueness of your research area, and the fact that it is also aligned to our SDGs.
Definitely.
Even if we did not mention that.
I can point it out to you.
and thirdly, the conversations that we're going to have at institutional level in terms of how we can, you know, revisit our infrastructure imperatives and improve on them. And of course, encouraging our academics, those academics that do not have postgraduate qualifications, you know, having conversations with them in terms of how, if they haven't done it already, how they can co-supervise with other researchers in other universities. Thank you very much, Professor Kupesami, for taking the time, sharing your research initiatives and experiences. And, of course, I must say that I appreciate the fact that you are still at MUT, and it looks like you are here to stay. And thank you very much, and continue with your great work.
Thank you, VC. Much appreciated. And thank you for inviting me over.
Thank you very much.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.